our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 159, stanzas 1 and 2. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from Thee, but Thou wilt hear my cry. And what follows in the first and two stanzas of Psalter 159.
Portion of Scripture which we hope to read this afternoon can be found in the book of Acts, and thereof chapter 4. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 4, the first 22 verses. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that is spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So, when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God of the heavens and of the earth, we try to draw nigh unto thee, and we have heard of those that did stand before an earthly council, and we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. On that great day of the resurrection of the dead, after that we have lain a little while, a few feet under the ground, and then we shall awake again to come into judgment before thee. Wilt thou give us an impression, a saving impression of our great need and what we are by nature, how that we have been conceived and born into this world. And when there has nothing taken place in our life between the cradle and the grave, then we shall not have an answer to 1,000 questions. And thou wilt say, bind him hand and foot and cast him into that everlasting darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. O Lord, what shall be the profit of our life? And what shall be the profit of our coming, a Sabbath after Sabbath day, into thy house of prayer? And when we are together here again in this afternoon hour, what shall be the profit of this hour if we are left alone by thee? And then it shall testify against us in that day. O Lord, we beseech thee, thou who hast promised unto thy servants, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, that thou would show thyself true unto thy promise in this hour, to give to us not only the strength for our body, but also the clarity in our mind. May it be words that may be spoken that come from thee. For thou knowest the heart of each and every one, young and old, and what we stand in need of, and what arrow is necessary that may penetrate into our hearts and leave us not in the state in which we are born, in the state of death, in the state of sin, in our condemnation. Oh, that thou wouldst raise us unto a new life, for thou art but the first fruits from the dead, that many also among us, O Lord, leave not a hoof behind, may also be born unto a new life, and that the cry may go up from the land of bondage into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, that thou wouldst hear the cry of those that feel their slavery and their bondage, and that are not able to deliver themselves from it, that may cry to thee for that great salvation, and that thou wouldst bring through that way of impossibility through the sea. Oh, that thou wouldst open that way unto those who are standing there and who do not know what way to go, to the right or to the left, that cannot go forward and cannot go back anymore, who are pursued by the prince of darkness. O Lord, thou art able to open the way, because thou sayest, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we can read that that people was baptized in that sea. O Lord, that thou wouldst also grant that baptism in truth and in spirit, that that people in their impossibility may be given a view of thee, They shall never forget it. Thou wilt receive the honor. Thou wilt receive the glory. They will run after thee with all their heart, their might, and their strength. And when thou showest unto them who that thou art, and when thou makest thyself to have form and comeliness, and then they shall say, He is white and ruddy. He is the chiefest among 10,000. Oh, then how beautiful and how precious thou shalt be. O Lord, is it not to be desired by thee, by thy own dear son? Hast thou not promised unto him a seed? Has he not fulfilled that covenant as he has promised? O Lord, where then is that inheritance that thou hast promised unto him? Wilt thou give it also in the midst of us and of our children? Are they all brought in already? Wherefore stands yet this world a little while? Wherefore yet sendest thou thy servants into this world, and even into our denomination, O Lord? Wherefore dost thou leave us also in this place? To bring in all our weakness and frailty and foolishness, a little bit yet of thy holy word. Is it not that thou shouldest have a seed? Lord, that thou wouldst do it then for thy name's sake. Send forth thy spirit in this hour, and grant that there may be new life from the dead, that new ones may be born in Zion, that they may enter into that strife which thou alone wilt give them the victory in, that they may begin that blessed life that shall never die. O Lord, wilt thou undeceive what is deceived? For we are deceivers of ourselves. Oh, and that is true of us, wilt thou show to us the reality, and wilt thou grant us that we may truly receive light from above? In thy light shall we see light. Thou art the fountain of eternal life. Feed then also thy own people. It is a fountain and that is provided because they need it not once but continually. And then they cannot be born without also being fed. Lord, we are insufficient, especially also for that work. We do not know how to feed thy people. Lord, thou didst multiply the loaves in the hands of thy disciples. Oh, we beseech thee then that thou thyself may feed thy people, and that thou may lead them from strength to strength, and that thou wouldst give them indeed to grow in grace, and that they may be more and more humbled under all their wretchedness and sin, and that they may be given to see more and more, and that it all has to come from thee. Lord, make thyself precious by renewal. And wilt thou remember all thy servants? Remember him that receives calls in the midst of the congregations. Lord, show unto him the way that he has to go. And wilt thou lead him, and that thou wouldst bring him unto the place that thou hast prepared for him? Wilt thou supply for all those that bring thy word, and give that also in the days in which we live, that it may be sanctified also in the midst of the nations in which we dwell? Give our rulers to return to thy law and to thy testimonies. Remember our school and all the troubles that are upon us. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that thou would show that thou art God, and that thou takest care of thy own church and also of us. That it may be evident, O Lord, that it is not a deliverance of man, but that it is the deliverance of the Lord, and that the world also may wonder, and that thy name may receive all the honor and all the glory. Remember those who were united in the bond of holy matrimony, and wilt thou bless them indeed from above. Remember all husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, all that are not married. Remember the afflicted and the sick, him also who has gone for treatment. And wilt thou bring him safely home this week, and wilt thou bless the means that are used for his recovery. His father also in his weakness, and all those that suffer and have trials and tribulations. Lord, be with us in this hour. Help us to bring thy word. Help us to hear, to listen a little, and bring thou that word into our hearts together. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 161, stanzas 1 through 5. My soul in silence waits for God. My Savior he has proved. He only is my rock and tower. I never shall be moved. The last collection today is for the Fort McLeod Building Fund, Psalter 161, stanzas 1 through 5. Thank you. beloved congregation, how much turmoil did enter into the church here on earth when the Lord Jesus entered into his public ministry. He himself said, I am not come to send peace on the earth, but a sword. Satan is not displeased with a formal, with a dead religion. It is as sure a way for him to retain his subjects eternally as a life that is in outward sin. But Christ resurrected the dead, and he denounced a formal, a dead religion, setting a man at variance with his father, the daughter against her mother, and so on. And this was felt very, very keenly within the church of that day. After the Lord Jesus ascended, this turmoil did not cease within the church of God. The Pharisees had attempted to stamp it out. They hanged him on a tree. They thought they would be finished, but he rose from the dead. And therefore, that turmoil continued. So it is also in this day. Let the Holy Spirit of the Lord enter into the heart of a man, and the strife begins. The turmoil begins. It is the strife between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. From that moment, the moment of regeneration, Satan reveals, exposes himself to be the greatest enemy of the church of God. The true church is sure of its victory because they didn't gain it themselves. But how often do they not fear for that victory? How often do they not say with Peter, Lord, save me, I perish. And then there are other times, there are other moments, moments when the Lord brings faith into exercise, moments when they may see and when they may feel and when they may experience that indeed the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so the Lord gives to his people tokens. He gives to them evidences along the way that they may be encouraged to continue and to look steadfastly unto the end of those things that shall be put away. Our text, that is from the portion that is read to you, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. The 14th verse. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. So far the words of our text. The enemy silenced. First, the necessity of this silencing. Second, the manner of this silencing. The enemy silenced. First, the necessity. Second, the manner of this silencing. And beholding the man which was healed. Who is this man that was healed? We read that in the previous chapter. says that that is a man who was lame. He was lame from his mother's womb. Never walked, children. Can you imagine that? You can walk, you can run, you can play. And that man, he had never walked in his whole life. Every day they brought him to the temple of the Lord. When he became a man, he could not work. He could not earn his own living. Those are blessings that we often do not see. They laid him at the temple gate. And there he put out his hand and he asked for alms. We read that Peter and John, they came to the temple and they see him, but they said to him, "Silver and gold have I none." They were poor. Is that right? They were poor. Peter and John, what do you think, children? Were Peter and John poor? It's true, they said they did not have silver and gold. But they did not say they had nothing to give. Peter says, "Such as I have, give I thee." Thus he had something. He had something much better than silver and gold. What did he have for him? The Spirit of the Lord was with him, and he had for him the healing from the Lord. What do you think of that man? He could not receive silver and gold. So many times he has received silver and gold. Little bit. Every day he received silver and gold. Do you think he was happy with it? I think so. Think he was thankful for it. But how was it when he received this blessing? Well, then we read that he leaped up on his feet and he went into the temple of the Lord. We read walking and leaping and praising God with all the silver and gold that man received in his life. He was never so happy. Do you understand the children, what we are trying to say? It is not silver and gold. No, there is another blessing that alone can give to us that true happiness. But do we seek it? Or do we seek still all the silver and gold? That is the first healing that we can read of the apostles after that the Lord Jesus, he has ascended into heaven. And then we read what a great turmoil that this healing has also caused within the church at that time, because we read that the people, they are running together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Thus the Lord, who has commanded the apostles to bring his word, the Lord, he is guiding from heaven that there may be a people that are there to hear that word, because the people, they also must come. And now the Lord, he provides that there will be a multitude of people to hear this word of the Lord, that he may preach to them repentance and the remission of sin, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do we read? We read, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Thus, the work of the Spirit of Pentecost that continued in a great measure in those days for the building up of that church of God. But what do we read? "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Thus, Peter and John, they preach the resurrection from the dead. We read here now about the Sadducees. It was especially now the Sadducees, not the Pharisees, which are grieved with the preaching of the apostles. And why? Well, we know that the Sadducees were a sect that did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. But Peter and John, they are now preaching this resurrection. Peter and John, they are put into hold. They are locked up. And the next day, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and priests and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Thus they are gathered together as a council. And we read that Peter and John, they are set before them as those they have to give an account to them. It did not take so long before that the apostles experienced the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said that they shall appear before kings and rulers for my sake, for a testimony against them. It also did not take so long before that the apostles may experience that they did not need to meditate beforehand what they shall speak, because it would be given unto them in that hour what to speak, and that the Lord would give unto them a tongue and wisdom that all their adversaries would not be able to gainsay nor resist. By what power or by what name have ye done this? Peter receives another opening. It is another opening. It is asked even about what name that they have been speaking. Thus, Peter receives another opening to speak about this same name unto the Sadducees and unto the priests and the rulers, the high priest, the chief priest. Peter is not afraid. We read that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter, he is not afraid. He is not afraid directly to contradict that long-standing and false doctrine of the teachers of the people, that is of the Sadducees, that there is no resurrection of the dead. He is not afraid by the Spirit of the Lord to stand before that council and to say unto them, as happened on the day of Pentecost, that you have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. the Messiah, the Savior, whom the children of Israel were waiting for. Then you can imagine. You can imagine what is going on in the hearts of these men, of these rulers, of these Sadducees. They are the rulers of the people. They have gone in and out and among the multitude when Christ was standing there before Pilate. And he has said, "Whom shall I release unto you, Jesus or Barabbas?" And they have gone out to convince the multitude that they should release, that he should release unto them Barabbas. It is not easy to be told we are wrong. It is especially not easy to be told we are wrong in the midst, in before the multitude. But this people that is being convinced by Peter and John, they are increasing in number. They are growing not only to tens and hundreds of people, but it is now thousands of people that are following after this sect of the Nazarenes. Thus, the enmity that is boiling within the hearts of these rulers and everything that they have done to stamp out this name of Jesus of Nazareth that has proved to be futile. Peter finishes speaking. What are those Sadducees? What are the high priest, the chief priest? What are they now going to say? Oh, they had a desire to say very much. They had a desire to vent their hearts. They had a desire to defend themselves, to defend that doctrine which they have taught from the beginning. Or perhaps they had a desire to mock with them, especially when they perceive that Peter and John, they are unlearned men. They are ignorant men. They are not men that have been taught as they have been taught. Oh, then they had a desire to say very much. And what do they say? They say nothing. They say absolutely nothing. You say, how is that possible? Well, that is easy. The Bible says how it is possible. It says they could say nothing. Say, children, how is that? They could say nothing? Did they suddenly become dumb, that their tongue was held, that they were not able to speak? No. They could say nothing, it says. What do we read? We read, "And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing about it." Thus God shut the mouth of this enemy. Even if it was for a moment, even if it was only for one day, if it was only for 1 hour, yet the Lord has closed the mouths of these men. That was not Peter and John. Peter and John could not close the mouth of those men, because no man is able to close the mouth of that enemy. Are you able, people of the Lord? With all that the enemy says against the work of the Lord in your life, are you able to shut their mouth? What is the enmity that is living in the heart of Satan? Satan is an enemy of grace. He is an enemy of free and sovereign grace. Therefore, Satan, his heart boiled against that mercy that was shown unto this man. Remember that Satan is himself not a recipient of grace. There is no mercy for the devil. That is what separates him from us. And thus, when Satan sees that grace, that mercy bestowed upon mankind, then his enmity is boiling against it. When Joshua the high priest, he is standing before the angel of the Lord in his filthy garments, we read that Satan, he is standing at his right hand to resist him. Could Joshua then, with his filthy garments, could Joshua close the mouth of the devil? We read of the Pharisees. They brought to the Lord Jesus a woman. She was an adulteress, caught in the very act. They bring her to Jesus. Under the rigors of the law, can that woman, in her guilt, shut the mouths of these her accusers? It is impossible. It is accusations that are coming out of enmity against free and sovereign grace. Peter and John, they had no power to close the mouth of these enemies. That mouth was not shut on account of their preaching. We have read unto you what they have spoken, and the enmity remained within these men. We do not read that there is a single one that is convinced by the word of God. When Paul stood at Athens and he preached the resurrection of the dead, we read that some mocked. But these mouths, they went shut. They went shut because of something else. Just at least for the time being. What was that something else? That we see in our second thought. We read, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Thus, it was not the words that were spoken, but it was beholding this man that closed the mouth of these enemies. What did that man say? Didn't say anything. He did not need to say anything. What do we read? And when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Yes, it is impossible to be denied. Why? Because that man, he is standing there. And that man, he is evidence. He is evidence of what? That man is evidence of the resurrection from the dead. When Christ was on the earth, then he went about doing good as none other before. Those miracles, when Christ died, they would have stopped. As the Pharisees, as the scribes, they desired that they would no more be done. But now they are done again. How are they done? They are done through that name of Jesus of Nazareth. Thus, standing before them is the proof. Standing before them is the evidence of the resurrection of Christ. And what do they say? We cannot deny it. That is right. They say we would be fools. They feel it. Before all these people, we will be fools if we deny the evidence that is right before us. How important is evidence? Evidence. In every trial, these men are standing here in a trial. How important is evidence in a trial? Why? Because evidence speaks for itself. Evidence decides the case. Therefore, evidence that is sought by every righteous judge. Why? Because evidence closes the mouth of the wicked. So it was here. These judges are themselves wicked. These judges are themselves deceitful. They are ungodly. But because of the evidence, they could say nothing against it. Judas said of Tamar, "Let her be burnt because of her adultery." But Tamar had foreseen this, and therefore she retained the evidences, the signet, the bracelets, and the staff. And when she is brought into the judgment, and when she is sentenced by Judah, what does she do? She brings out the evidences. She says, "Here they are. By the man whose these are, am I with child." What did she do to Judah? Closed his mouth. She is more righteous than I. There is, congregation, great power in evidences. There is more power in evidences than there is in arguments. There is more power in evidences than there is in an appeal. There is more power in evidence than in all kinds of explanations. Because evidences have a convincing power. Evidences, they have a settling power. That is not only in the earthly court, but evidences also have that same convincing and settling power in the spiritual court. But we wish, with the Lord's help, to finish after we sing from Psalter 300, 1, 2, 11, and 12. O God, whom I delight to praise, to thee my cry for help I raise. Be thou my friend and advocate when foes assail with bitter hate. 1, 2, 11 and 12 of Psalter 300.
Thank you.
And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. That is the power of evidences. To close the mouth of everyone that comes against the true work of the Lord. Evidences, they are very precious in the life of God's people. Why? Because there are so many voices that are coming against the work of the Lord. The hypocrite does not need evidences. The hypocrite does not desire to hear about evidences. And why not? Because evidences uncover hypocrisy. They expose hypocrisy. Two women were brought before Solomon that he may make a judgment. The one said, "It is my child." The other said, "It is my child." What did Solomon do? He sought for evidences. The evidence of motherhood. And those evidences, they revealed and they confirmed the true mother. And they exposed, undermined the hypocrisy, the deceit of the liar. The true church needs evidences. The true church desires evidences. David said, "Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation." When Jacob's sons returned from Egypt, they said to him, "Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt." What do we read? We read Jacob's heart fainted, and he believed them not. Why? It was a message that was too great for Jacob. The desire of his heart had lain there for such a long time, but it had been so completely cut off. Do we understand what it means that the Lord must cut it off in our life? And when that message came, Jacob, Joseph is yet alive, then the voice said, that is not possible anymore. That blessing that is much too great for me. He could not believe it. But we read when Jacob saw the chariots, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Joseph is yet alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. I will go to see him before I die. Everything those brothers could say could not convince Jacob. But the evidences, they stopped the mouth of all the liars. What are those evidences that to stop the mouth of all the liars in the life of God's people. What are they? Paul says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Thus, faith, that is evidence. So faith is like those wagons. Faith is like that man who is standing here with Peter and John. Faith in exercise stops the mouth of every enemy and sets itself against all who come against that true work of God. Faith. But what does faith do? What is the activity of faith? Well, faith credits the Word of God. Faith receives that Word of God. Faith believes that Word of God. Faith sees clearly with the soul's eye what the body's eye cannot see. And it sees it as true. It sees it as reality. It is evidence of things that are not seen. Faith believes that God will do everything that He says He will do in His Word. Even over top of all the reasoning voices that say, that is much too high for me. That say that your sin that makes it impossible for you. There was a woman, she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read she had an issue of blood. What kept that woman away for such a long time? It was the law. The law was against her. Because she was unclean. She may not come there. Is that so with you too? You say, I may not come there. That is not for me. That law that is so against me, all my filth, all my corruption, from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot. There came a day that faith won over, and that woman, she drew near. She drew near to Him. She said, if I may but touch hem of His garment. And she felt in her body that she was whole of that plague. She felt it. What did Christ say to her? Thy faith hath made thee whole. And she felt something. That what she felt was evidence. It was evidence of that faith. It was evidence of the power of Christ and of His mercy unto her. She felt it. She experienced it. When Christ, He is revealing Himself to a man, a woman, in their uncleanness, in their impossibility, then the Lord is giving in that moment when He reveals Himself, when He takes the veil off that word. the Lord, He is giving in that moment faith that they may know and that they may believe. What does faith do? Faith assents in the first place. It agrees. It agrees with what? It agrees with the way, like that woman, to come and to bow, to come as unclean, to come as guilty, to come as filthy, to come as wretched. It agrees. Condemned by the law, faith sees a new way when it is opened up. That new way that is revealed unto them. It is declared in the Word. It is revealed in their soul. And then they may see that it is possible. It is possible. Oh, that Savior, He is so exalted in that day when the Lord takes the cover off, when the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Oh, how that Mediator is exalted in the heart of that people. Do you know what they say as we read it here? Neither is there salvation in any other. That is what they see. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What does faith do? It begins to go out to Him with longings, with desires, that it may be a partaker also of Him and of all His benefits. Faith, it ascends, but it also begins to trust. That is the essence of faith. It begins to trust, even if it is just a little bit. How may we know? How may the soul know if it has actually trusted? Sometimes, then we sit. You sit. You sit and you completely, children, you completely put all your weight on that bench. But I'm standing. But I am leaning here a little bit. Little bit. Faith. When Goliath came against Israel, David, he went out in that full assurance. But there are times, especially in the beginning, in the revelation of that Mediator, that soul, when it sees Him in His beauty, and when it sees the suitability of that Mediator, that heart that begins to go out and just to lean at least a little bit. How may the soul know it if it has ever so leaned once upon Him? It may know it by the relief that it has felt, a testimony within the heart, the support that they have received in that moment. Do you know Hosea? The Lord, by Hosea, He says to His people that He will be as unto them as they that lift up the yoke from the jaws that comes from, that is a picture, a farmer, when he has that yoke on those oxen, and he is not prepared to finish for the day. No, but he will just by times give those oxen a little relief. And so he lifts those yoke off of their jaws that they may rest a little bit. And then when he is ready, then it comes back down again. How may the soul know in the revelations of that mediator? Then they are conscious that there is some lifting. Some lifting of that yoke from off their jaw. Then they are conscious of that relief when they may behold in him everything that is necessary for the salvation of their own soul. In that moment, every mouth is stopped. The law, the mouth of the law, the mouth of the curse, when they may see that in him is contained everything. Oh, it will come back. It will come back again to roar like a lion when they may realize the reality that they are actually still on the outside of that mediator, and when they do not dare yet to say that he is mine and I am his. But they cannot forget what happened. What they have seen, what they have felt. When Christian came to that gate and he was pulled inside that gate because of the arrows of the devil, by goodwill, he said, I rejoice and tremble. It was not all done yet. The burden, you have to wait. But I rejoice. I rejoice. The burden still upon his back. I rejoice. Why? Congregation,
I wish I could show it unto you. One view in all our wretchedness and with all our guilt, when it is so, so impossible, and one view of who he is, then your soul that will leap for joy. John says it was the 10th hour. Behold the Lamb of God. Oh, did you ever see, do you desire to see the smallest part of that salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ? It is by these revelations that a man, he receives the evidences in his life, like that man who is standing there, and there is no one in the whole world that is able to say anything against it. Do you know what they taste? The apostle says it is joy and peace in believing. Joy and peace in believing.
That is not a joy. It is not a peace that belongs unto this world. David says he looseth the prisoners. He gives sight unto the blind. He raises those that are bowed down. Will a soul not know it? Not the smallest part of that relief. It is true. Power goes out of it. And the people say, oh Lord, may I feel it again. May I see it again. It is not heaven upon the earth. But do you know what Job says? He says, I know whom I have believed. I know. Do you know too? For a moment, that joy and that peace in believing. If you say, because there are those that say, that is all foolishness. We do not need that. Then congregation, I warn you. Then I warn you that you expose yourself as a hypocrite. If that is what you say, then you are like that woman. The child was not hers. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Blessed are those moments. Are they not people of the Lord? Are they not blessed moments? The soul knows in the court of its own conscience. He knows what evidences stop the mouth of Satan. The dogs, they eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Oh, seek to be established with those evidences, because it is the same evidences that will stop the mouth of Satan on our deathbed. And it is the same evidences that will stop the mouth of Satan when we have to stand at the judgment seat of God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot show it. We are but fools. Thou art God. Bless thy word. O Lord, wilt thou give the evidences in the life of thy people, that they may see and that they may believe, and that they may be established on good and solid grounds upon that rock, that a rock that shall never be washed away in the storm. O Lord, we beseech thee, remember young and old. Grant thankful hearts for thy help in this hour. Give that thy word may go with us from this day into the week that is to come. Watch over and protect each one. Give a holy jealousy for the blessed portion of thy people, and a desire that our calling and election would be made sure. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Eighty-eight through 11. I mourn and fail because of sin. Friends turn in dread away. Reproached am I and terrified, while foes conspire to slay. 8, 9, 10, and 11 of Psalter 80. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.